Hey, welcome live to Intentional Living, to our center where we begin the march today through a challenge of 2019 of living on purpose. This is a year where we'll be focusing an awful lot on what is God's intention, His purpose for your life. When you find it, that sweet spot, some beautiful things can happen in your marriage and your family. Even if it's a difficult process you're going through, maybe you're having a lot of difficulties and challenges with your kids, with your marriage, with your money. If you know your purpose, there's something that gives you that kind of energy, that gives you that strength to make it, knowing that God has a purpose for your life. Living on Purpose, this is Intentional Living. I'm Randy Carlson, and you're welcome to join me today. Let me give you the phone number, 888-888-1717, if you'd like to call in with a question. Maybe you want to share with us some things you have going on in your life for 2019, some goals, some declarations of intention that you have for this year. We'd love to hear from you. And by the way, before I get any further into today's program, I just want to say a really giant thank you on behalf of our team. All of us here, right, guys and lady? Thank you for your support. I know we had a lot of emphasis on wrapping up the year strong in 2018, and thank you for coming through. We're adding up, and we'll give you a report here in the next few days, okay? Phone number 888-888-1717. Kaylee is on the line in Arizona with a question today. Kaylee, go ahead.
I'm having a really hard time communicating with my husband. This is it's never been easy since we got married, but divorce was brought right on the table first day we got married. So it's been really hard. Later on, I learned that, you know, he was using that move, or that, you know, that the D word to hurt me. And it's just been really hard to recover and to, like, renew, you know, just try to renew our relationship every day. Just trying to forgive them.
Mm-hmm. Is it in his heart, in your heart, to make this marriage work?
Absolutely.
But for both of you?
For both of us, yes. I mean, I really do believe that, you know, we want, you know, a happy marriage where we can love each other for the rest of our lives.
So early on, things were said, the D word, as you said, used, very damaging to your spirit, to your heart. And he knows that? He recognizes that now?
Yeah, we had probably, you know, within the last, you know, 10 months, it's been used over a dozen times. And, you know, he admitted to me that, you know, he would say it to hurt my feelings.
Wow. Hey, listen. Hey, listen, Kaylee, let me jump in here. What I heard you say is he recognizes it, but it sounds like you're saying he also continues to do it. Somewhere along the line, he learned that he could control you, and he probably, if we went back and looked into history, we may find that that was a pattern of how he was raised, allowing that kind of manipulation. And so I don't know his heart, and I'm making the assumption on the day you get married, your heart is you want to make the marriage work. And then the first thing you face that's a challenge, even on your wedding day, it's easy to fall back into old patterns. And let me just say this, Kaylee. That's the kind of thing that will destroy a marriage. I mean, anybody you've been through, I'd love to hear from some of you that had to get that out of your vocabulary. Maybe you just had to wake up to the fact you can't be throwing out the D word in your marriage and expect to have a healthy marriage, and how you handled that intentionally. You know, I'd love to hear some of you how you made that transition from that kind of stuff to something that was loving and positive and moving forward with growth. But Kaylee, here's the deal. As long as you buy into it and allow that to hurt you, now I know it does, but allow it to get the reaction that maybe he's looking for, that sense of control or whatever it is he's facing, you've got to throw this back into his court. And I would encourage you guys, I mean, you're young in your marriage, to sit down with a counselor and you just very articulate, honey, I love you, but I'm not going through a lifetime of every time something's a problem, you're saying you're divorcing me. I mean, you can't live like this. If you say that, I take it as that you mean it. And if you mean it, then I want to know what you're going to do about it. Don't come and tell me that you're going to divorce me and then you're not divorcing me. Not that I want you to divorce me, but words matter. The scripture is clear that the words of our mouth, the things that we say, can either lift up or bring down. And we need to be more precise. We need to be more intentional, right? To understand that our words matter. They matter a great deal. So I'd confront this early, Kaylee, in your marriage. Get some healing through this process. I hope your husband doesn't really mean it. Sounds like he probably doesn't. But boy, you know, when you bring out the big D word, which, by the way, we've said over years of ministry, should never be in our vocabulary. The day we get married, that's it. And as long as it's there, leaving that backdoor option available, commitment becomes a very difficult thing to be intentional about. You know, I would, you know, we haven't been through that in my own personal experience, but I've worked with lots of couples like you, Kaylee, who have been through this. I'd love to hear some of you who have said, maybe to encourage Kaylee, here's how we got past that. Here's what we did. So that didn't become an obstacle in moving forward with our marriage. Phone line is open to you. We're live here today. 888-888-1717. I think Mary's on the line in Michigan. She has a question. I think a question maybe about a daughter. Let's listen in. Mary, what's your question today? Go ahead.
What it is my daughter has adopted another family as her family. And whenever there's an event or something, you know, really important, graduation or whatever, these people are always there. It seems like they're in the way and they get the credit where credit is not due.
Let me see if I understand this. Your daughter, who's now an adult, right?
Yes.
And you use the word adopted. You mean in terms of she has a close relationship and considers them to be family?
Yep. She calls them mom and dad, and we're the bio parents, and that's just how it is.
Did they help raise her, or did she live with them?
No. I raised my daughter, and when we finally left the marriage, my children went with me, and when I moved, I lost my son to a drowning accident, and therefore I wasn't fully there for my daughter for a number of years, and I don't know if she holds it against me or what, but that seems to be what always seems to crop up.
So when you bring this up, she goes back to that you were not, quote, a good parent to her.
Well, evidently, but she doesn't bring it up to me. That's the whole thing. These other people know all about things that happened or didn't happen in some retrospects.
Have you talked to your daughter about how you feel or about the...
I've tried, yes. And all I get from her is that I am jealous of these people. And my grandchildren are calling them grandma and grandpa. I don't get to see my grandkids like I'd like to because I have to share them with these outsiders, and it's not fair, and it's not correct, and I don't know where to go.
Hey, listen, Mary, I hear your heart as a mother, but let you know, to be intentional, we've just got to face reality sometimes, and you said it. It sounds like during the years, you weren't there for your daughter, and so she grew into adulthood, taking some of that loss and lack of connection and bonding, frankly, with you, it sounds like, and she turned that into some other relationships, and she's developed a relationship with other people who have stepped in and maybe done some of the grandparenting type things that she had hoped you had done and didn't do or wasn't able to do for whatever reason. And so you're facing a reality. You are not going to change your daughter. You're not going to build a relationship by stamping your feet and saying, this isn't fair. That isn't going to work. What I would encourage you to do, Mary, is to work daily, weekly, not in a negative, reactionary tone, but toward building a better relationship with your daughter, one-on-one, not bringing up these other people. That's her business. It's what she's doing. Now, I know it hurts you because you have certain expectations that are not being met, but remember, expectations minus reality equal disappointment. You're experiencing that, but it's possible that your daughter's also experiencing some disappointment as well from over the years that the two of you need to address. And so I wouldn't focus on these other people and it's not fair and they're butting in and they're always around. I would really go toward trying to establish a stronger, more intimate, close relationship gently with your daughter. That's, you know, we talk about a brand new year here, Mary. That would be a great goal for you, for a challenge for 2019, to know that God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for these relationships, and I would not approach them adversarially or in an adversarial way, rather. I would approach these relationships in a way that you're loving and supportive and trying to build a positive connection, okay? Okay. Hey, our phone lines are open on this second day of 2019. Love to have you join in. Maybe you're learning how intentional living's made a difference in your life. Or maybe you want to help Kaylee, who's joined us with that great concern about the D word when divorce is brought up in marriage. Or in the case of Mary, boy, maybe you've struggled with that as a grandparent when you don't feel like it's fair how you are connected with or not connected with your family. Intentional living is all about progress, doing the next right one thing. If you want to weigh in, you can call 888-888-1717. And we'll be back with your calls in a minute.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these five devices.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I want to share the first in a series of 10 we call intentionals on what successful people do on purpose that frankly unsuccessful people don't. The first thing they do is they're mindful of moments and people. And I'm thinking of Jesus at the well. He was very mindful of that woman. He was mindful of her needs. He was aware. He was connected. So often in life, we go through our day. We're so busy, we miss people. We're not mindful of what's happening in their lives. We're not mindful of our children or our spouse. Can I challenge you intentionally, as we think of one thing that we can do, to be mindful of the people that we're with today? Mindful of our spouse, mindful of our coworkers, mindful of what God is telling us in our life. Do that one thing, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
That's what we call the Intentional Minute. You hear it on radio here and around the country. And we've just launched, starting yesterday, a daily video at our Facebook. And it's going to be the Intentional Minute every day with the idea of the intention of just giving you 60 seconds to encourage you for the day on being intentional. And we've had so many people join us on Facebook just in the last few days as we've launched this. If you've never been there, check it out. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You can click on the Facebook there or go to Facebook/intentionalliving. And every day, it'll be there for you in Intentional Minute. All right, let's go to Eddie. We're speaking about, by the way, that was an excerpt of the intentionals on what successful people do that unsuccessful people don't, which is my teaching for this month. And I think Eddie has a story about taking responsibility from Tennessee. Eddie, go right ahead.
I've gone through, about 2 years ago, depression kind of hit me out of nowhere, and we all know that many Americans suffer from that. And one thing that I've done, one thing I've learned is don't go where you are easily comforted. As far as, you know, some people, you know, turn to eating a lot of food. Some people turn to, you know, entertainment to kind of numb down that thought process. And so, you know, a lot of people get this, you know, they get upset with their state and they feel like they're missing out in life. One thing I've learned since I've been going through, and this is now going on 2 years, but I feel great. The one thing that you can do is every morning, you know, before you grab your phone, grab the Bible, you know, grab the Bible, stay in scripture. After that, get on your knees. And that way you are automatically, you know, filled with God and his word.
Boy, that's a great way. You know, we think about taking responsibility. And if we take responsibility here in 2019 by saying, I'm going to take responsibility for what I put into my head, what I put in my heart, and begin this year with that kind of intentional passion, man, that's a powerful thing. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Eddie, for your call from Tennessee. You can give us a call, try to get through here at 888-888-1717. We're kind of lingering a little bit around the Kaylee's call. She started the program today, if you missed it. And she was talking about young married couple and her husband's choosing to use the D word, divorce. She said even on their wedding day or the next day, divorce becomes an immediate kind of way of responding to hurt. And boy, if we can deal with this, one of the most damaging things we can do in a marriage is to not throttle and take control of the words. And some of you wanted to respond to that. In fact, Kathy called from Arizona, I think relates to that topic. Kathy, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi.
Hi there. Is this something that happened in your marriage?
Yeah, the first few years of my marriage, I used to threaten divorce whenever we'd have a fight or things seemed to be going wrong. And somehow the Lord just helped me to see that I was hurting him and I really didn't want a divorce.
Why did you think you said it then?
The only thing I could think of is that my first husband left me for another woman and I was afraid.
Oh. So it became a defense mechanism, kind of a defensive way of handling, you're not going to hurt me, I can hurt you more than you can hurt me kind of a thing.
Kind of, just more fear than anything, I think.
So what caused it to come to an end?
Because he's a really gentle, loving person, and I realized I was hurting him and that it was wrong. Mm. And now we've been married almost 22 years, and we're very close and very happy.
Mm, good for you. So was there a point, did you get into counseling? Did you come to a point of saying, hey, we're going to get rid of the D word, divorce word in our marriage?
Just get rid of it. I didn't have to go to counseling.
You just said, that's it. We're done with that. Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know if you'd have stayed on that course, probably how you would have ended.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. How long have you been married, did you say?
Almost 22 years.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it'll help others too, Kathy, because it's so easy to fall back into a pattern when we feel hurt, to be defensive and then go for the major blow. And of course, that's the big one, the big D word, you know, in marriage.
Yeah, so. Right.
All right. Well, thank you and Happy New Year.
You too.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Maybe you want to weigh in on all this. Someone wants to talk about Kathy who had Mary's call, struggling with her daughter who was... She was feeling kind of out of the loop there. And Amanda's on the line. We're going to get to her in a moment. You can join us at 888-888-1717 to be a part of the program today. I'd love to have you join us. Amanda is in Arizona. You wanted to relate to Mary struggling with her daughter, huh?
Both of them, because I've had a bit of both of those stories with the divorce and the children, the daughter.
Mm. What have you learned?
I've learned basically that the things that happened to me, I was not there for my children. So due to some insinuating circumstances of choices that I made, and I for a long time blamed God and then became to realize that it's my choices. God didn't do them to me. However, I've learned that God has used those choices. Now that I'm drawing closer to him, he can use those choices to help other people who are attempting to make those choices. But with listening to these two stories this morning, you know, not being a part of my kids' life, I've had the same experience where they're calling somebody else mom or, you know, and I for a long time, I fought for it,
yeah.
You know, and I pushed myself on them. And I've learned, thanks to Jesus Christ coming into my life and changing it, that, you know, I have to step back and let them come to me, but do my part and be consistent in what I'm doing with them, not give them what they want, not be a friend, but be a mom. And they're coming to me now, you know, and it was hard because I had already abandoned them in my eyes. So, and in theirs. I had an ex that didn't get along with my youngest daughter's dad, but they were taken from me because I was homeless and then I became addicted. And so, God had to remove all that. I had to lean on him to remove all that for me. Mm. And because of that, I was able to let go of my daughter, but worked as they needed me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I think what you've done, Amanda, is you did a very important thing intentionally. You turned that frustration or hurt or all of those things in your life and just said, took responsibility. Hey, I blew it, and there's a price to be paid here, but I'm going to move forward starting today. And I think it's a good way, even if we start this new year, to realize that we can start this new year intentionally. And so thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it. All right, you can join in. Our phone lines are going to remain open. We're going to stay here in the studio at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There's a second thing that successful people do on purpose, and it's they take responsibility. It's one of the laws of intentional living. One of the five laws that we teach is that successful people on purpose take responsibility. They're not blaming others, they're not criticizing others, they're not gossiping about others. Because, as one person said, those things are a loser's limp. As I was typing this, Donna was proofing it, and she said, "What's a loser's limp?" I said, "I don't know, but I don't want it." You know what I'm saying? It's a picture. It's that kind of permanent limp that a person has who doesn't take responsibility.
That's point number two on the top 10 list of 10 things successful people do on purpose. They take responsibility. You know, the things that destroy relationships, we know this if just through experience, criticizing, blaming, gossiping. These are the things that destroy a relationship. I call that loser's limp. And in this month's teaching for our members, we take the top 10 list of the 10 things that successful people do on purpose, and it's now available on CD. It's just been released, and it's available to every person in support of the ministry this month. And by the way, if you're a member, you've joined us, it automatically will be coming to you. But it's available for everyone today with a gift to the ministry. And if you click on membership, it'll that and each future teaching will come automatically. Information on supporting the ministry is available at theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Well, we started a little firestorm of calls here. We started with Kaylee, who in a young marriage, her husband many times repeating the fact that he wanted a divorce, or there's a divorce, or bringing up the D word, maybe not really meaning it, but using it maybe because of hurt or protection in his own life. And many of you are wanting to respond to that at 888-888-1717, like Sharon, who wants to comment. So Sharon, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I am here. You know, I can identify with that young lady because it's so unfortunate that it wasn't my husband who wanted a divorce. It was me. Because he was doing things I did not like, and I could not change him. I tried to change him. I couldn't change him. So the easiest thing for me to say, you know something, I don't have to do this. I want a divorce. But I love him. He loves me. He said, he don't want a divorce. Once he's married, he's not going to get divorced. So for me, knowing that I love him and he loves me, I pray to God. I don't try to change him anymore. I just for change me. I pray to God, change me. Let me be a better wife, a better mother, the person you want me to be, not who I want to be, what you want me to be. And right now, I could not ask for a better husband. I could not ask for a better relationship. He's loving, he's kind, that he used to do that get me really upset, like, you know, finances. He don't do that anymore.
Interesting. Do you think he changed as a result of you getting off of his case, as it were?
No. A lot of times, I don't think so. It's God who changed him. Because me being on his case didn't make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't faze him.
So you got out of the way and let God do his work in your husband's life and changed your attitude and mind.
I just trust God. Just work on me, God. And I trust you to work on him. Because the thing is we try to change people. We cannot change anybody. The only person we can ask God to help us to change is ourselves.
Exactly. And when you do that, Sharon, we talk about things that successful people do this month, and that's one of the things they do. They take responsibility for themselves, and you simply said, "Hey, enough of this. I
threatening divorce or bringing up divorce. You change your mind, your heart, you let God do a work. And in your case, it turned out to be a very positive thing. How long ago was that you had that kind of revelation to say, hey, I'm going to give my husband to God and just love him? How long ago was that?
Because both of us, we're Christians. Both of us are Christians. But I was always telling him the way I see a Christian live their life, that's not the way.
Yeah, so you became the Holy Spirit. Like, how long ago was that, Shannon? Sharon,
I'm sorry. We've been married from 2012. So it was like early in our marriage. Early. You know, because he wasn't here, so I get him in the country, and after we get here, I knew him then. But I'm like, God, is this really the person, you know? But after, you know, because a lot of times, you know, it takes time to know somebody.
Well, that's true. Hey, Sharon, thank you for your call. Glad to hear it. So 2012, you know, here we are in 2019. So for the last 5 years or so or plus, you've said, hey, our marriage is different. You think, now, wait a minute, does that really happen? What I've discovered in watching it, I had a chance, because of the perch that I have in life, I get a chance to see thousands of marriages, and I have seen God do an amazing thing when we change our own minds toward our spouse. Now, let me be clear, there are times you have to confront issues, and there are things that have to be addressed, but that's not coming out of criticism or gossiping or blaming. It's what I call, in my book, Starve for Affection, active respect, holding a spouse accountable in a respectful, positive way with the intention of making the marriage work. And that's really what it is. All right. This has been interesting. I'll tell you what, we have calls coming in. We'd love to have you join us. We're going to stay right here in the studio, and I'm going to continue to record some calls that we can air later in the month. And so this would be a great time for you to call. Maybe you want to respond to what you've heard from Kaylee or from Mary, or something's on your heart about living intentionally as you start this brand new year. I'd love to hear from you. 888-888-1717. The line is turned over to you, so you can call and join us on the air here. 888-888-1717. As we wrap up today's program, a reminder, also, we're beginning this year of Living on Purpose. All of our teaching to our members will be on the focus of Living on Purpose. This month, it's on the topic of 10 things successful people do on purpose that, frankly, unsuccessful people don't do consistently or only occasionally, and only one or two here or there. What are the 10? Well, members, it's coming to you automatically. For those of you who will share a gift to help us this month, you'll receive this teaching this month as well, our gift to you. So go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. As we close out today, I just want to say thank you to all of you, each of you, who called, who went online, and so generously supported the ministry to help us wrap up 2018. Thank you from the bottom of our heart. God bless you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.